living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And you can find today's radio program called The Ironic Swallow. The Ironic Swallow. Right there on the front page, if this is a different day and you're listening to the archives, you can find the text on voiceofvision.blogspot.com. You just go to voiceofvision.org and hit daily blog. It's a web blog, and that'll lead you to all these programs that we've done. And you can, again, hit the sermons button there, and there's a filter for radio broadcast or sermons to hear it, or you see it right there at the blog. And, of course, you can find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship. You can there's a book there we've done, Voice of Vision, Devotional Arrows Aimed at the Heart, from which this particular post comes from. It's got 50 of them in there, and we cover some of these on the radio programs. Some of them we haven't, and we have new material all the time and books and things like that. And you can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. Well, let's get on to it now. The ironic swallow. What am I talking about? Well, several things. I'm going to address unbelievers and also believers today. But let's take a look at verse 24 of Matthew, verse 23. The NIV reads this way. It's funny because a lot of the versions read differently here, but it really makes the same point. I'm going to get to that at the end. You blind guides, this is Jesus, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. And some of them say you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. It's ironic we debate that because it comes to the same point. But again, in the NIV it reads, you blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And that's what I want to talk about, this ironic swallow here. We say, get this little poison out of me, but then we let the big poison get in me and keep that little poison away, but let the big poison in. And, you know, oh, the Bible can't be true, but horoscopes can, and something like that. It's about conspiracy theories. They're always been at the core of a rebel's heart. You know, some new legislation passes, and all the ones on one Democratic or Republican side, whatever, say, oh, it's evil. And the others say, oh, no, it's moral. Isn't it always that way? They always try to paint it that way. One side is completely evil and one side is completely moral. And then they posture each other, you know, in that sense and say, we're the moral ones. No, we're the moral ones. And then something happens. Oh, it's a big conspiracy. And then you see all these new zeitgeist, you know, the wind of the day, as it were. There's always something out there about JFK or Nostradamus or, you know, Hitler or, you know, 00 or this number or that. And conspiracy theories are everywhere. Oh, H1N1, they're going to control the world by the vaccine and all these crazy things. And maybe some of them are true, maybe they're not. But let me tell you, conspiracy theories have always been at the core of a rebel's heart. Our human nature finds it easy to believe in a story where, lurking behind the scenes, again, I'm reminded of the Da Vinci Code and all that, a vast array of twisted subplots lead us to the conclusion that, just as we expected, some cherished notion is just a pipe dream, a fairy tale, or a paper tiger. It feeds into us easily, doesn't it? I knew it was too good to be true, we say, and another anchor loses its hold on us. We grow up with this mindset that everything is not as it seems, and this does have merit, you know. Remember when you found out about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny? Uh-oh, said some kid listening to the program. What do you mean? Sorry, Mom. You never were the same, and some people become a hardened skeptic after that. Yet also remember, this wasn't the last time you were fooled. You've been taken for a ride many times since, right? Oh, this is what the car costs, and oh, there's the sticker shock. Sorry, folks. But it happens, doesn't it? We think something's true, and then there's all these things, and then we become cynical and all of that. How often is that we make trivial matters our stumbling blocks to success? Of course, when the conspiracy theory revolves around something as important as your soul, then we might want to investigate a little further. But how many people actually do that? We see the tremendous work of this or that expert or authority has already done, and we should trust them, we reason. How could they reveal all this and be wrong? Or why would this lead us astray? Or how can a billion Chinese be wrong, they would say, and that kind of thing. And it's very easy. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And if the premise is wrong, however, No matter how many times or how many items, how many counter evidence is uncovered, it is a faulty foundation. It can't stand scrutiny. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In other words, if it can't stand scrutiny, it can't stand. Why do we want to take a single thread of counter evidence and let someone take us for a ride while ignoring the vast volume of reliable evidence we already have? Ironic, isn't it? Again, that's what they did with the Da Vinci Code, saying, oh, they invented the deity of Christ, when really it was just a couple of guys saying Christ is of the same essence as the Father. He's a created being. And then the 400 guys got together and 398 of them said, no, that's not true. They just had to do it to codify the thing. It wasn't that they invented it. It's ironic. It's like, you know, everything can be going your way. Let's say you're a parent. You're going to help this child. And you know they're going to succeed no matter what. But you haven't told them that you're going to rig the game or whatever it is. And they're just down, down, down. Well, no, I'll never do it. I'll never do it. Just do the thing. You're going to, no. No one loves me. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God or are called according to His purpose. And yet we act like that's not true. Don't say everything's going to be good. It's going to work towards good. But one bad thing happens and we just let it all go, right? The point we're getting to is that people treat the Bible this way all the time. They see one apparent, now it doesn't mean it is, they see something that looks like a discrepancy in the Bible and they dismiss it all. Oh, I've read the Bible. There's so many contradictions. Baloney. Baloney. People out there, I'm going to cover something tomorrow. Oh, no, you don't. You know, from Psalm 50, verse 16, the wicked God says, what right do you have to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? You only can exercise the authority of the Bible if you're under the authority of the Bible. And people say, oh, I'm a Bible scholar. That's like someone saying, oh, you know, I know the laws. That cop's still going to give you a ticket, folks. People treat the Bible that way all the time. They see one thing they can't understand themselves, even though the fundamentals are perfectly clear. And so they dismiss it all. Yet when they see one tiny shred of coherence in a horoscope or whatever, Miss Cleo, and they swallow the whole thing. That's what I call the ironic swallow. One little thing in the Bible, none of it's true. One little thing in some advice column, oh, they're the guru. That's ironic, isn't it? Boy, that's real discerning, I'd say, huh? Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day for doing this very type of thing when considering him. And they were wrong. Can anything good come out of Galilee? Or wasn't he supposed to be born in Bethlehem and he comes from, you know, Nazareth? And they didn't understand, you know, he was born in Bethlehem and they didn't follow the whole thing. They were missing a big part of what was going on because they had a preconceived notion about God. Preconceived notion about what he was going to do. Don't we do that? We have a preconceived notion that God owes us this, owes us that. And we don't really even recognize the depths of our sin. And I'm talking to Christians. The atheists and apostates have long been fond of this type of dangerous diet. They strive with everything in their being to somehow prove the Bible is false and God is non-existent, or at least Christianity is myth. They think they only need one item, that one piece of evidence to make the whole house come tumbling down, they think. Of course, they already have what they need. They have an unbelieving heart. If you start a priori, in other words, ahead of time, with an intent to disprove, God will most certainly allow them to continue to play the fool. They know right well that Christianity has withstood the test of time, has successfully defended itself from every attack. You know, they bring out all the old standards. Oh, God killed all these people in the Old Testament. It's not the same God. Things that have been answered over and over and over again. And yet a new generation needs to hear the answers over and over and over again. That's why we have to be diligent to contend for the faith. But Christianity, friends, is real and it's defended itself time and time again. And there's many redeemed hearts and changed lives that testify to the fact. But there's no way some are going to yield their stubborn, rebellious hearts to God of the universe. And it's that way for many of the masses. They would rather believe in some generic, fortune cookie type of spirituality than one based on an historical, verifiable reality. Do some witnessing out at parades and events and things like that. And how many times I've been talked to by people that say, oh, well, you know, my husband or my wife promised me, if there was a way back from the grave, they promised me that they would get in touch with me. And so there was a nickel under my pillow or something like that. And their idea of the supernatural is superstitious. And I don't care if it did come true. A demon could do it. It could just be some other cause or whatever. But we have a revealed revelation of the Bible. I don't want a nickel on the street. I want, thus saith the Lord, it is written, I say unto you, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, these type of things. That's what's important. We're going to dismiss all this revelation, 40 books, or 66 books, 40 authors, 3 continents, over 1,600 years, and an incredible cohesiveness to this, and it says the same things over and over, repentance towards God, faith in Jesus Christ. We see him pictured in the tabernacle. We see him in the prophets of the Old Testament. We see the New Testament, the apostles. We see how it speaks to today and how there's new believers and people are born again. And yet we want to dismiss it all based on one little thing we think we see, based on some preconceived notion we already have. But we know there's something out there, and we swallow something ridiculous about angels or earth force or some, and I'm going to say it, idiot New Age proponent on PBS like Wayne Dyer or something like that, who are pseudo-spiritual. And they've done the ironic swallow. And people that can have an incredible IQ and be wonderful people on this. They can. Wayne Dyer might be one of the nicest guys you ever met. I don't know. But we do these things, don't we? We don't give it due diligence. He may have given it due diligence. I don't know. God saves people who he wants to save. I can just tell you this, that a lot of people just kind of dismiss things with a wave of a hand. And they're not being serious. They're not addressing the ultimate issue. They're making the ironic swallow. They'd rather believe in some generic fortune cookie type of spirituality, as I said, rather than one based on historical verifiable reality. And that way they don't have to bend their knee. It's because people love their sin. People think they don't have to bend the knee to anyone, or so they think. However, God proclaims that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's Philippians 2:10. And that's ironic. Now, again, I want to speak to believers about this verse, by the way, because whether your verse, you know, we're straining the point here. Whether the verse is straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel or straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, it doesn't really matter because either rendering gives the proper point. The point was that they were paying too much attention to lesser things when the greater problems got right past them, which is ironically what happens when we debate this verse. We wonder if it's one way or another, and we miss the point. The point being that we focus on the little things, and we choke on the hors d'oeuvres, as it were. And so I would challenge you, Christians, in your own life, you're wanting God to fix this little thing or that little thing, and you're allowing this other thing to control your life. It's like you come to him in prayer, and you have something behind your back, and he goes, what's that? And you go, oh, it doesn't matter. No, would you please fix this? And he's like, well, how about this? You don't understand that this is related to that somehow because it could be related to your obedience. And that's the point. People just want to be obedient to whatever they think is the truth without having the truth in them. And they don't want to obey revelation. And they think they've been revealed something else. And that, my friends, is truly, truly ironic. Well, I guess we could go on and on, but that's all the time we have for today's episode of the Voice of Vision broadcast. I hope that you're enjoying these programs. You can email me again, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. But for now, we'll say goodbye and God bless, and we'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor JD Hatfield. Don't make the ironic swallow. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God bless you.
Yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.